Hello, I'm Tiffany Zale, the Life Group Director at the Lake Orion Campus, and I am excited to have our kids pastor, Josh Miller, and his lovely wife, Lisa, with us today to help us answer the question, how do we do groups with kids? And not just do groups with kids, but do groups well. So Josh and Lisa, welcome. Would you tell us a little bit more about yourselves and your involvement with Life Groups?
Thank you, Tiffany. We're super excited to be here. Lisa, I think you know more about our details than I do.
So we have two children ourselves, and they are 9 years old and 3 years old. So we kind of have a kid in each direction, one in elementary and one still at home. And we have been involved in life groups for a very long time, actually, through Woodside. Years and years ago, they were called missional communities and small groups and all different things. But we have been leading a life group for probably about 6 years or 7 years. And we have been in multiple different life groups together through that time.
Now, your last life group had a lot of kids. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
We had probably 12 to 15 families in our last life group. And that means approximately 87 children. And so, it looks a little bit different with each group based on the demographic of kids, the age of kids. But it can be really, really complicated when you have a large mass of children in a life group. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today is how we can integrate that and how we can make that work well.
Yes, and part of the reason why you have a new group now is because there were so many families in that last group, you felt the need to multiply and start a new group. So tell us a little bit about how this group is different from your previous group and what you're doing now.
Yeah, I think the previous group, like Lisa said, there was a billion kids. And of all different ages, a lot of young, not a ton of older kids. And it wasn't that, it wasn't just because it was big that we were like, oh, we got to get out of here. It was to what you said, to multiply, to empower leaders, to equip them, and then to start that process all over again. This life group, the kids are a little bit older. I think, what's the youngest? How old's the youngest?
Would be 1.5.
Oh,
it's the youngest.
Yeah, who is that? I don't remember the name.
That's okay.
1.5.
So the dynamics are way different. We're able to integrate them into what we do as a life group, which is something that we really wanted and valued. I think our co-leaders who host, they valued that a lot. And so that's been something that we've been able to grow in.
That's awesome. So let's get into life groups with kids and how we make it work. So my question is, and what I think everyone wants to know, is there a perfect formula for doing life groups with kids?
No. The answer is no. The answer will always be no. There's not a perfect formula, but what we found or what we've seen is that if we are intentional with the culture of our life group and bringing kids into the life group rather than just having them there try to figure out what to do with them, that has been a huge asset for us in the life group, that instead of trying to figure out what to do with the kids, we've been able to plan our rhythms around bringing the kids in and having them be a part of our group as much as possible. So there's no perfect formula. I think we've concerned ourselves with creating a good culture for that, making sure the kids feel valued, and then especially empowering the parents to be able to do that, not just like being a part of the teaching time when we meet, but then also throughout the week, how do they do that well?
So it's not just you two as the life group leaders leading out something for the kids and something right. for the adults, but it sounds like you're incorporating all of the parents in the group to take a part in that.
Yes, that is correct.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and people, all different people have brought really like their flavor of how they lead and how they teach and what they're really good at. And which has made it very enjoyable for the kids and the family. It's not static, and we have a ton of fun.
That's great. I love the community building aspect of that.
Same.
So you have a unique rhythm that your group follows, and it's something I think is excited to share with the rest of our leaders. Can you tell us a little bit about what a typical month of meeting as a life group looks like for you?
Yeah, so when we typically each month, I will send out a calendar at the beginning of the month. I think that that's actually one essential part that's really, really helpful for parents, because we need to know exactly what our month looks like, planning ahead when you have kids. If you have a schedule ahead of time, then everybody can be prepared for what each week looks like and how to prepare for that. So we meet actually 5 different times a month, which probably seems like a lot. But the capacities in which we meet are the first week of the month, we always do a family dinner. Each person, I usually create a sign up for food. Each person brings one small piece of the meal, and we just have a completely informal meal together. And then our second and fourth weeks of the month, we actually meet on Zoom. A lot of people immediately shut down when you say the word Zoom after living through, you know, the times that we did. But we actually found that this was a resource that worked super, super well for our group, because we generally meet around 8:15 p.m. And on Zoom, whoever's able to join gets on right away. We have uninterrupted time. We're not having to worry about a babysitter or where the kids are. Because we have, you know, younger school-aged kids and toddlers, they're generally in bed by that point. We've actually seen, like, perfect attendance almost on every Zoom.
Wow.
Because we, you know, created at a time where people can get there. And it's also hard to get out of your house, maybe after an after-school activity or something like that. So the second and fourth weeks, we meet on Zoom. And then the third week of the month, we started doing a just like another kind of informal pizza party together. So no one's having to prepare any sort of food, but we just show up. We all pitch in for pizza. And we started doing a family, kind of like a family night. And this came about because our oldest son is 9, and he started asking, you know, well, you guys get to see each other on Zoom, and we only get to see each other once a month. And, you know, we, like, why don't we get to see them more often? And we started to realize that, like, that group is not just a place for us, but it's a place that's really meaningful for our kids, too. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of got together, like, as families, and I was saying that he would really like to see them more often, and how could we, you know, make them a part of the, you know, discipleship process also. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of collectively decided, like, let's try and do a family night where we do, like, just focus on the kids. It'll be like a 15 to 20 minute thing where we have maybe a certain topic. Pinterest is my best friend. I go on Pinterest and I find creative, a quick game or a quick activity or something like that, and to equate it to whatever we're going to be teaching them that night. Mm-hmm. And then we'll usually do a worship song. We pick one of the preschool songs and one of the elementary songs from Apple Music or any streaming thing. You're able to find those songs that the kids are familiar with and kind of have a little sweet time of kid worship, you know, together too.
Yeah, and to the point of what we're teaching, some may think, well, so how do I get that? Where do I find those things? How do we even know what to do? But you said we just, for this one, you guys were talking and you decided, okay, let's do the fruits of the Spirit and then work through the fruits of the Spirit for this first study. So I think that there, and like she said, Pinterest is a really good tool to utilize. But Tiffany, I know you'll talk about it later, but we have a lot of good resources on the website or on different spaces that you can get materials from and be able to easily do a family night. In case there are groups that aren't comfortable necessarily with teaching.
You don't know where to start.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And then we do our fifth time of the month is just a casual guys or girls nights. So you're still getting that time together as adults too. Mm-hmm. And it could be on a completely different night of the week. Just plan it for a time that works for you. Mm-hmm. Whatever schedules are, you know, maybe make a poll or something on Facebook and say, hey, these are the dates I'm available, and can we find a date that works? And we rotate that. Guys 1 month, girls the next. Mm-hmm. And so we're still having that adult time.
So just to clarify, the 4 main meetings that you do are always the same night of the week,
yes.
Correct? Yes, so those are your regular rhythms. And to sort of recap, you do 1 night together that's more of just a fellowship dinner.
Okay.
2 nights are on Zoom, and that's really the adults digging it and studying.
Yes.
So whatever the sermon series is, or if you're doing a book or whatever that might be, that's that devoted time,
yes,
to
talk, and pray. And then you're doing that family devotional or like
worship night.
I love that. And then the fifth meeting is really kind of a rotating meeting of a girls' night or a guys' night. Could be on a Friday, could be on a Saturday, Sunday, whenever it works for you.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, and I don't think it's even just guys' and girls' night, too. Like, if we decided we want to do a date night, it's easier to do guys' and girls' because the husbands can watch the kids when the girls go out and vice versa. But then every now and again, I think we like to all get together.
Yeah. And I think going back to your original question, like, is there a perfect formula? You know, this is what we have found that works for our group and for the families within our group. But in the past, and I have friends also that are leaders of life group with a lot of little kids, some of them use a babysitter once a month, twice a month. If you have a house that works for that, maybe you have a basement or a space where the kids can go. They pay $3 or something for the hour per kid, and you're able to keep a babysitter coming back each month because they're making a decent amount for the hour. And that has really worked for, we used to do that with our former group several years ago, and I know that they continue to do that, and that's, you know, a resource that works for them. Mm-hmm. So they're able to have that 1 hour of uninterrupted time while the kids are, you know, in a safe space together. So that's another option as well.
And that's especially important for groups that have kids where they're all like under preschool age, because really you're not getting a whole lot done as a group.
Correct.
So 5 nights a week is amazing for building community, but I feel like it could feel a little intimidating for some of our listeners. So if you were to offer maybe an abbreviated version of your rhythm, and we'll talk about some other rhythm options outside of getting a sitter and things like that as well, but if you were to shorten your rhythm to maybe three meetings, which would be the three most important, knowing that what we ask for life group leaders to do is at least 2 of your meetings a month being study things.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say because our family worship night, that is super meaningful for the kids. And to be honest with you, we get something out of that too. It's a really precious time that you can have as families that are growing together in Christ. And we are in this stage where we're, you know, discipling our kids together too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think maybe I would say like,
I'm even thinking the first, second, and third week, because yes, the studies are super important, and you could split a Zoom, which is the adult study for us, Zoom adult study, and then family worship for all of us. So that's your 2 teachings.
Yeah.
And then that family party that's very important for us.
The fellowship.
Yeah, the fellowship aspect of that.
And no pressure, just showing up and being able to have the conversations, you know, about personal lives and things.
Yes.
I love that. I think 5 feels intimidating when you say it out loud, but knowing that 2 are online and even offering that option of like those 3, I think that's a great idea.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the other ideas and ways to incorporate kids into groups. We talked about having a sitter when the kids are younger. What are some other ways you've seen groups incorporate kids well?
So I think the precursor to that question is always going to be the age group of the kids. Mm-hmm. Because of the ages or where they're at in their developmental skills and life, it's going to change on how much you can integrate the kids. Mm-hmm. Which is fine, and that's okay. It's okay to have different seasons and different life things. But like we said, we like to incorporate them. They're at an age where they can be part of the conversation, so we like to do that. We already said something about chipping in for babysitting, which is a cheap and easy option, especially to get just solid time with your group. And then another group, they started taking turns. How'd that go?
So they take turns watching the kids, but not just watching the kids in the basement while the parents are doing a study, but they actually use the curriculum that we have here at the church, and they rotate who takes, you know, each month or each session to go down and teach. Mm-hmm. So they have people sign up, or they, you know, delegate who's going to be in charge of each week, and then they use the resources that Josh can give them. And they're responsible for that week. So it's not always falling on the same person to teach, but also equipping and saying, like, this doesn't have to be so hard. It doesn't have to be so challenging. Like, we're talking about elementary and preschool kids. Like, you can do this, and, you know, just equipping them to do that.
Yeah, and I think that was one of Ben and Kathleen's things, to make sure that they had something to resource their leaders or parents, whomever is rotating. And so being able to give them something that's really plug and play. Because it's always going to be the potential of it being nerve-wracking at the beginning will be there. And then as you continue, you start to figure out your own rhythm, what you like to do, and then you're off and running.
Yeah, I love that. I love incorporating, again, similar to what you do with your group, all the different couples in teaching the kids, because it really just, it speaks volumes to the kids and when other adults are sharing the gospel with them and sharing biblical truth with them, because it shows the importance. It's not just from mom and dad. It's something we do as a community. So I love that. And since you brought up resources, Josh, I would love to talk a little bit about, we get a lot of questions about kids' resources. The great thing is we have a website page on woodsidebible.org. It's /lead a group. And there's a button right on that page that says Leader Resources. And in there, you will find that we actually have an entire page of kids' resources. There is a resource called First Look.
Yes, First Look. Yes.
And there's also one called The Parent Cue, which you were telling me earlier is actually an app. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how to utilize it?
Yeah, and I think the app, that's something that can we as a kids ministry at Lake Orion, we could do better at promoting, because it is a very simple, easy way to understand what we teach and what we talk about on Sundays, and then also how to use that material the rest of the week to ask questions or to get in conversations. So essentially, Parent Cue is an app that you can get either on Android or Apple, and it you put in specific information and you can connect it to woodsidebible.org, or not the website, but the Woodside Church. Bible, yeah, the church. And then the information that we're talking about and what we're doing on Sunday gets plugged into your app. So you can follow your kids' developmental stages, how many, this one's kind of sad, but it'll do a countdown of, oh, you've got 900 days left with your little one. And while that seems like, you know, that's kind of it's a sad thing to think about, I guess. But on the other hand, you're almost like, reverse engineering. You're seeing that in 900 days, I don't have my kid anymore.
Because they're going to college.
Correct.
Not passing
away. No, because they're going to college. So I have 900 days before they go to college. And so if I can bring that back, how can I start being there and helping them develop and disciple and all those things? Mm-hmm. And so it's a good way for us to partner with parents. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way for them to be able to be in the conversation of what we're teaching on Sundays throughout the week. So that, wow. I like the Parent Cue app. That's a good deal.
Yeah, I love that, because you're not just talking about it on Sundays anymore. You're bringing it into the group. And that's exactly what we do with the Life Group discussion guides as well. So that's a similar model, which is really, really cool.
Yes.
Very cool. And of course, Lisa mentioned Pinterest to put some fun activities into the mix. Can you share a little bit about some of the activities that you found on Pinterest?
Yeah, so we did this last meeting before we went into summer, we did the Fruit of the Spirit of Self-Control. And one of the activities that we found on there was to give them a marshmallow at the beginning of the night and say, okay, like, here's your marshmallow, but you can't eat the marshmallow until I tell you to. And so it was just kind of a fun thing, because it kept them intrigued, like, why do we have this? What is going to happen? It's like little things like that. We also did like a bubble popping game, like, okay, everybody, like, you can't pop the bubbles when you blow them. Obviously, that's more for preschoolers than it would necessarily be for older. But we also did like a Lincoln Log building thing where we broke them into teams, and both groups had like a toddler in each group.
Oh no.
Who do not practice self-control. Oh, you're building Lincoln Logs. And so it's funny, because I didn't even think that was going to be like the, you know, what I brought it back to. But like, as they're building and getting so frustrated with these, you know, 3-year-olds that were breaking their houses, I was like, well, they do not practice self-control. Yeah. And so there were tons of just like cute that require like nothing.
Yeah.
Like stuff you would have around your house. I am not creative. Like, I am not artsy. I don't want to come up with something on my own. But this makes it so simple to use those.
Yeah, I love that. It makes it feel like anyone can do it.
Yeah.
thanks for fun. Thanks for being honest with us. You're like, I'm
least creative.
Oh, my word. You're probably more creative than you think. But I love those tiny little things that you can do that really illustrate to kids the message, which is awesome. So I wanted to ask a couple of questions that we got frequently during our live life group conference. And one of the ones that came up was, what do we do with kids if we're in a multi-generational group where not everybody has kids? And so what would your thoughts be about that?
Yeah, I think, so if it's a group that's getting ready to form, then I would want to make sure that we are communicating all of that, that there are some of us that have kids, there are some of us that do not have kids. How are we going to, what are the rhythms that we're going to put into place that allow the kids to be a part of the group? But then also, you've got adults who haven't had kids for a while or don't have them yet. And so how do we create a space where they feel this is my group? And so if it's a beginning one, I'd want to make sure that those conversations come out. If it's one that's already established and maybe there was one that didn't have kids or wasn't multi-generational and then started to become that, again, I think over-communicating what the mission and the vision is for your group, I think is really, really well. And I know, Tiffany, you can help, especially with our Lake Orion groups, you can help them with that mission and vision, but or you know, at least organize that and speak that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's super critical because if you can figure out your mission and your vision, then you can go backwards and say, okay, well, then what are we going to do? What are our rhythms going to be? And those rhythms are based on that mission and vision. So, and which is even more important, like for us, we're in the group that we're in. It's fairly straightforward of what our mission and vision is because we all have young kids and we're all discipling and developing these kids and young families and we're moving forward. So that's kind of a simple, you know, mission or vision that we have to bring them along. But if you have multi-generational, I think it'd be really good to just communicate that and work through that, what that is. I don't know if you have anything else. No,
I think that's a really great point because the mission and vision of your group is going to dictate what you're going to do in your group.
Right.
And I think, again, going back to what you said about the age of the kids that are involved is also going to dictate what you're going to do. And if a group is looking to be multi-generational, there's so much we can learn from.
Correct.
I had an amazing experience not that long ago, an event we did at Lake Orion where we were incorporating our kids, I believe it was 8 years old and older, to be a part of a conversation that is a similar conversation you would have as a life group, a conversation about a discussion over the sermon series. And I was blown away by the answers the kids at the table were giving. And it's that childlike faith that we truly can learn from, kind of like how, Lisa, you talked about how much you guys get out of that family devotional night, because it's just amazing what they come up with. I know I see that every week in kids ministry too. And so I guess I personally would encourage groups, even that are multi-generational, if a kid has the patience to sit in a room for, you know, a half an hour, make them a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Ask them their opinion.
Yes.
And that goes back to what you were talking about earlier about valuing kids. Mm-hmm. And creating a space where they can be discipled too.
Yeah, and you've got sometimes the in-between too. So you've got younger kids, adults, but then you could also have teens and students. And that's a tricky thing because the teens and the students, the minute you have potentially, the minute you have younger kids or the vibe doesn't feel right or whatever, it's going to be hard to bring them in. I think one way that I've seen groups do this or even in ministry on Sunday is that if you give them a leadership type role where they're able to come along the younger kids and they're able to teach them and they're able to have a purpose rather than just being there, they actually are involved in the teaching, discipling, developing of the younger kids. And you could do that with adults and younger kids, like you said, if you know, pick a couple to rotate. I think all those things would be really, really good.
Yeah, and I love that idea of giving the older kids a job, because I think some of those middle school, high school students could easily come up with some of those fun games or get on Pinterest. All of them have phones, right?
Right.
Get on Pinterest and even come up with those activities. And I know I'm thinking of my own teenage nieces and nephews, and I think they would actually
put
something like this together for younger kids. So wonderful ideas. Well, I'd love for us just to wrap up. And I think, how would you kind of summarize being a successful group with kids from our conversation today?
I think a good summary would be for our life, is that what you're asking for our life group? I think a good summary.
Groups in general.
In general. So I think a summary for our group would be that we are driven to bring kids into the conversation, to have them be a part of the group rather than trying to figure out something for them to do. Our mission and our vision is to develop families and parents and what do we say? Valuing kids, empowering parents, creating that culture. So that's our mission and vision. So then we know how we're moving forward. I think in general for life groups, depending on if it's multi-generational, young kids, older kids, I think to summarize all of that would be, can you have a space where everyone is able to understand Jesus, know who Jesus is, growing together as families? What's the best rhythms for us to do? Is five too many? Is three doable? Figuring out, okay, what's good for us to, you know, on the days that we want adult time or the times that we want to have deeper discussions, do we hire a babysitter, you know? So I think it's rhythms. I think it's your mission of what it is that you're wanting to do with families and how to incorporate kids. And then seeing how that plays out and being diligent with praying. You got to pray. So like if just being diligent to what you feel like the Spirit is telling your group to do and what that mission is, then, you know, you play that out. And I think that works out really well.
I love that aspect of praying and asking God for guidance, because with lots of kids, you need that, don't you? Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like mission and vision is the number one thing. That's where you start.
I think so.
And then you have to figure out the rhythms that work for you.
Yes.
And every group is going to be different. And
yes.
That's okay.
And that's okay.
So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Of course.
Thank you. And I hope everyone took a lot out of our discussion. And I look forward to hearing what other groups are doing this fall.